Welcome to the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is a short format podcast where we explore business and outsourcing mastery. My name is Derek Gallimore, and I am really excited to bring you the leading podcast in outsourcing. This podcast is brought to you by Outsource Accelerator. We are the world's leading outsourcing marketplace and advisory. We help big and small businesses with their outsourcing needs, and we can help you too. We cover everything from business and staffing strategy, optimal outsourcing structures, implementations, and fully managed services. If you're already outsourcing, about to start, or somewhere in between, then we can ensure that you get the best from outsourcing. That's the best prices, best terms, and of course, the best results from your outsourcing practices. We list over 700 outsourcing suppliers on our website, host this leading outsourcing podcast, and have over 5,000 pages of content. Because we span the entire market, we can ensure that you get the best deal possible. We offer everything from light brokerage, co-managed services, through to fully managed solutions. Get in touch today. Visit us at outsourceaccelerator.com/quote. Mention that you're a podcast listener, and we will give you special attention plus a 10% discount. This is for a limited time only. Go to outsourceaccelerator.com/quote. Welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is episode number 252. Today, we are talking to Yuri Timp, one of the co-founders of East Vantage. It's an outsourcing supplier here in Manila in the Philippines. Yuri, I was talking to him. He's based now in Belgium. So we get a really good perspective of outsourcing internationally. And Yuri has incredible professional pedigree. He is a lawyer, especially in HR, and has had a sort of globe-trotting corporate experience. So it's really good talking to Yuri. I certainly learned a lot, and it's incredible the value that, you know, we explore with outsourcing and how that can be applied to people's businesses. So I enjoyed this, and I hope you do too. If you want, as always, any of the information found here, go to our show notes, which is at outsourceaccelerator.com/252. Enjoy. Hi, and welcome back, everybody. Today, we are joined by Yuri Timp. He is the Chief Zen Officer, would you believe, of East Vantage, which is a BPO outsourcing supplier here based in BGC, the new shiny part of Manila. So, hi, Yuri, how are you?
Hi, good to see you. I'm fine.
Yeah, and you are, funnily enough, in Belgium, and I actually expected that you were mainly based in Belgium, but you've just told me you've spent 12 and a half years in Philippines and Asia. So let's start there. What were you doing in this part of the world?
Well, this was more of an accident, so to speak. I'm a lawyer and a labor lawyer by trade originally. And as I was doing that, I got sucked more into HR management. And eventually, somebody needed somebody to set up a service center in Manila for HR and payroll services to a global organization. And I was crazy enough to take that challenge, and I worked on that for 2 years until it was up and running with 200 people. And then I joined Baker McKenzie in Manila. We have the largest and oldest captive legal service center in the world. I started more than 20 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And I managed that as a country manager for 5 years. Grew it from 450 to 650 people. Then at some point, some people came knocking on my door to help them out in outsourcing European companies in my network. Also wanted to set up operations, and that's how we came up with the idea of creating East Vantage. So our first clients came asking for help. The last clients are also still asking for help, and we've been doing that now for almost 9 years.
Wow, and East Vantage is about 500 seats as well, you were saying. So 500 seems to be your kind of magic number, yeah?
It seems. I think I'm going to. We're going to break through that ceiling, so to speak. I mean, we've always been my target for the last couple of years to overtake the Baker McKenzie Service Center, which is still down the street from our office. So it's a healthy competition there.
Right, and Baker McKenzie, they've always been, very sort of leading in terms of being a global play. Did you learn a lot from their strategy in terms of leveraging the whole kind of global situation?
Absolutely, and it's they do that very well. They go where their clients are. They are a truly global organization, and they've also learned that they need to embrace the local customs and benefits that you can get in any market. So I've also completely understood there that even though we were a captive service center, you need to harvest the talents and the skills that are available that are different from what Baker McKenzie has in the different law firms around the world. So Manila really was able to deliver a BPO mindset and a BPO talent pool to Baker McKenzie that has helped that firm to transform itself, like their whole back office organization has really transformed thanks to the Manila labor market.
Yeah, and not wanting to go too deep into that, but Baker McKenzie, for those that don't know, it's sort of a tier one international law firm. And so they have then back office resources here in the Philippines, not just servicing Philippines, but the entire world network of Baker McKenzie offices, I assume, yeah?
Yes, that's correct. 72 locations they service.
And is it mainly back-end administrative, or are they actually now moving into kind of legal research and support?
Majority of it is the typical business functions of IT, finance, HR even. That's really the meat of it. But they are also, of course, trying to productize their services, their knowledge across the globe. And even though they will never bring the legal advisory work to Manila, because they have the best lawyers in every location already. But there's still a lot of stitching together that needs to be done for global projects, and they are managing that from Manila.
Incredible. So then you have taken all of your, very sophisticated corporate knowledge, and you've brought it into more the SME space, the small and medium-sized enterprise. East Vantage obviously represents that and is doing that at a very professional level. But where do you see the similarities, but also then the differences between how big corporates require resource and staffing and then execute that versus the SMEs and startups?
I think it's the biggest difference is, of course, volume, right? So large corporates very often require a lot of people at once, or a lot of manpower at once, for fairly well-organized processes. Well, SMEs by definition don't have the volume, and usually also by definition also don't have the well-organized processes. So there's much more work to be done to make outsourcing work for SMEs than for large corporates. Actually, it's much easier to work with large corporates. In outsourcing, very often the larger something is, the easier it becomes. And for SMEs, we need to work with a lot of individual decision makers on the client side, which means that we put much more focus on the personal relationships between ourselves and our clients, and between our staff and the process owners and the workforce on the client side. Those relationships are really crucial. We could have contracts and we can have project plans, but without those personal relationships, it's never going to fly. Then because of the lower volume, that means also that usually we are involved in many more different smaller processes that require just more documentation and more diverse skill set in our teams, and also a certain willingness of our team members to take on new challenges and just to go with the flow and take on the next work that's coming our way. So we need to be nimble, and we need to respect the business needs of our clients that are changing very fast.
And do you see that there's a lot of onboarding? We are an advisory, obviously, Outsource Accelerator, and we help people get into outsourcing and hopefully help with the onboarding process. But very commonly, I think it's business owners, no matter really how small or big they are, how new to business or sophisticated they are, it takes quite a lot of hand-holding to bring them up to the sophistication needed to be able to successfully outsource. Because, as you say, it takes process mapping, it takes transference of knowledge and processes and metrics over to another center. Do you find that there's a lot of onboarding and handholding and just sort of bringing people up to speed with how things are done?
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned it, and it's good to see that you mentioned that you help people to move into outsourcing. Our quote is that we make outsourcing work. So once people have made that decision, we're going to make sure it works. And with those business owners and process owners, sometimes they're not sophisticated enough, but sometimes they also overcomplicate things. And we have to find that balance and identify where our clients are. Sometimes people think that outsourcing really is a very complicated thing. And of course, when we start throwing words like project plans and onboarding timelines and stuff like that, then people start to think it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of effort. While actually, with our team, we do it every day. And sometimes we forget that other people have never done it before. So we have to strike that balance between running a formal project and having just enough documentation, but not overcomplicating it and not killing the project by PowerPoint and project plan. Mm. And so we have, I think most of the handholding is really understanding what is the mindset of our client, what do they expect, how formal do they want a project to run, or how informal, because it could also be very informal and very very hands-on. So we need to strike that balance, and we need to adjust to the culture of our customer organization, and then act accordingly.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, because you don't want to sort of force a square peg into a round hole, as my Dad always used to say. But it really depends then on the level that the organization is at as they enter outsourcing, and also depends on their culture and how they already do their processes. Yeah, so it's a kind of marrying of two separate departments, I suppose.
Yes, exactly. And then it's only after that onboarding is done and the work has started in earnest, then we can take more of an approach where East Vantage, or I would rather say the whole of Manila as a BPO center of excellence, can then bring a lot of practices and improvements to the table that the client has never been thinking of or has never had the time to think about, and we can introduce tools and we can change the way things work to make to drive efficiency, to drive down costs, or to drive up quality, and usually both. So, but we need to not always start with those things in the first phase during onboarding, because we would be overwhelming the client. So we need to strike that balance. And there's plenty of time to optimize the operations in the months and years after the onboarding.
Yeah, and that's an incredible thing about outsourcing, isn't it, that I think is very commonly understated or underappreciated, is that, there's a sort of, I suppose, a stigma about outsourcing that, it's a developing economy, there's people sitting in mud huts kind of doing a bit of basic work. But when people come over here, they realize that it's an incredibly sophisticated industry. It's been happening for 25 years, and the Philippines is their experts in process management, process refinement, and optimizing operations. It really is incredible, isn't it? And when people use a service like East Advantage, it's not just getting people in an emerging economy, it's getting your mind share, it's getting your strategy and everything put into that process to optimize people's businesses.
Exactly, and I think in the first phases, very often, and specifically with SMEs, business owners and process owners have the impression that they know best how the business needs to be run, and that is actually true because they know their business like nobody else. But then there's a lot of things that they cannot really put their mind to, and they don't have the time and the focus like a service center has to optimize the internal processes. And I think we have that talent in Manila, in East Vantage, and we really want to put that forward. And we definitely don't want to make the mistake of being seen as a body shop. With the more people are working there, the better it is for East Vantage. Instead, we engage with our clients, and we promise either verbally or contractually that we will drive up quality or drive down handling time and improve year on year the operations. And I think there's a rule of thumb that even if you don't do much, efficiencies will increase by 5% a year. But if you really put your heart to it, it could be much more. And I wouldn't say we wrestle control away from our customers, but it is true that we really make a conscious effort to gain the trust of our customers to allow us to come up with these improvements and changes that will benefit the business of our clients, because at the end of the day, we are an enabler for the business success of our customers, and from that success will also come success of East Vantage. So it's not about the number of people or the number of hours that we're working. The less, the better for everyone.
Sure. And how does it work then? Because Baker McKenzie is obviously very globalized. East Vantage is based in Manila and Philippines. You're in Belgium. How do you see the different markets, the different client-side experiences and impressions they have of outsourcing? You probably have a lot of first-hand insight into that, sitting where you're sitting now.
Yeah, there's of course some large generalizations that we could make. I mean, the Australians have a different approach than the Americans to outsourcing. The Australians really aim for the personal touch and basically are more stuck in a lift and shift type of model. So they bring the process as it is, and they want to keep on managing it from Australia, while Americans have a bit of a different expectation from outsourcing. They say, this is my problem. Take it and return me the outcomes, and I think that comes from the fact that actually I don't know why it is, but probably historically, because outsourcing been there longer. But these are very generic generalizations, and I think most of the time it really depends on the person. The business owner or the process owner has its own drivers, has its own needs, and that is what we need to listen to. Though I wouldn't make too many sweeping comments about cultural differences and all that. It's really a people business, and it's a team sport.
Absolutely. And do you see a difference in terms of embracing outsourcing and you know, do you think as globalization, the march of globalization continues, that eventually everyone will outsource, or do you see different pockets of different activity? Where's it going in sort of 10 to 20 years?
Well, 20 years. In 20 years, I may be retired, so that I do not know. But I think definitely outsourcing will always be there, because it is just another way of employing people. So whether you employ somebody at the kitchen table next to you or at the other side of the planet, it doesn't really matter anymore these days. And it's all about, obviously, the costs. Let's be clear about that. But also about the skill set that you can bring together. And then if you need 10 or 50 people doing a similar task, you're not going to be able to gather them around your kitchen table anymore. And I'm exaggerating with the kitchen table, but many SMEs are located in locations where either that talent is massively overpriced, like San Francisco, for instance, to go to the extreme, or are located in small places in Europe, small cities where the talent just is not there. So you're going to find the talent wherever you need it. So location is no longer important. But when it comes to skill sets, of course, there's a lot of change all the time. what do people want to outsource, and what type of people do you need to do that? And I think no 5-year period is the same in this industry. A lot of processes have been coming and going. I mean, call centers for sure, voice, the real typical call center is slowly disappearing. We are not in that category, so we're not so worried. We do very little voice support. We don't think it is very desirable. It is something of the dinosaurs, and we don't want to be a dinosaur. But still, in any process, there's a lot of change. I mean, there's a lot of talk about artificial intelligence and automation. These are somewhat buzzwords, but at the same time, it's happening all the time in small ways. You know. If you're using Google Apps, you know, there's a lot of automation going on there, and your processes will be running better and smoother because of that. And any tool, any ticketing tool, or any reporting tool that we introduce into the client processes will fast track the outcomes, and therefore is requiring less manual labor. And there's a change. That means you have to move up the value chain in the sense that people need higher skill sets, but you need less of them. And it's a beneficial circle. I mean, eventually, if all businesses are benefiting from that, eventually the consumer is benefiting from that.
Yeah, and I mean, the whole global economy and all of its workforce is going up the value chain, and you see that in the Philippines as well. Yeah, as you mentioned, like voice is now not so big a part of the pie, and you've got more web developers, more analysts, more post video production editors and things that are really kind of critical. And also, as it moves into the SME market, you're not having 500 people doing the same role, so you need more agility and flexibility, and everything. And I think the sort of the workforce that's left, they need to be very responsive to the environment and work in smaller, more flexible teams, don't they?
Absolutely, and so that's why there's a lot of software development happening also in our company for businesses who are making either transitioning from an old-fashioned way of working into the digital age, or that, of course, smaller organizations that are starting straight into the digital world, e-commerce and the likes, which comes in many flavors and many shapes, but. That means a lot of technology is there at the front that needs to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. But it also means that these businesses can sometimes grow quite fast, actually, and faster than let's say the core team of the CEO or the CFO and the management team that is somewhere in the world, faster than they can handle. And they need to develop their product, they need to develop their platform or whatever it is that they are bringing to the market. And they need their full attention on that because it's usually still in design and evolving. Even larger organizations realize their products need to evolve quite fast. And they need all their attention on that, and they should not really be worried anymore about hiring an additional 10 or 50 or 100 people to run that process. I mean, they just should not be worried about it, and they should let professionals handle that. And that's what we have. We have a team of professionals to do just that, and then feedback the information we get from the process to our customers, so they can then build that into their product design.
Yeah, and you mentioned some client profiles. They have a problem and they want to outsource it. Where do you see the delineation between you being a sort of bums on seats or you know, a staffing solution provider versus actually taking a business process and either delivering the result or even solving business problems for people? Where is that delineation, and how do you manage that as a service provider?
Well, these two models, let's say staff leasing and managed services, as we like to call it, whatever the client wants, right? We can deliver, but let's say staff extension models are simpler. We're just going to hire the right person, train them, onboard them, and make sure that they establish a good working relationship and communications with the customer. But the customer is going to keep on driving most of the work and the process, which is fine. But what we consciously do and without, as I said earlier, without wrestling away control from the customer, we consciously make an effort to get deeper and deeper into the process and come up with ideas, and to make we just don't want all our staff in Manila to be considered as just a dumb workforce whose opinion is never asked or never listened to. So we actively encourage our teams in Manila to think through the processes and to come up with improvement ideas that we will then, in an orderly way present to the customer for implementation, including the plans on how it will be implemented so it doesn't disrupt anything. And by doing that, we shift from just a staffing solution towards a managed services business solution provider over time. Of course, we could also start straight away on that side of the spectrum, but very often there's an evolution. You need to build trust. You need to show what you're capable of. And eventually, you're considered a part of the team of the client and you work towards the same goals.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I think every single company out there should outsource. You know, you should at least have a proportion of your staffing within a cheaper cost center so that you can, you can cut costs, but you can also grow. You can look at new products, new markets. What do you see as some of the stumbling blocks and some of the apprehensions or common things that are stopping people from outsourcing? Or is it even just awareness? People aren't generally aware of it.
I think the awareness is now no longer a problem. Everybody has heard about it. But still, as most people still, even though they know the words outsourcing and server, they actually still don't really understand what is going on and how it works, which is probably normal if you've never seen it in action. And as I said earlier, some people overthink it and think it is rocket science. Well, actually, it's not. It's really people putting their hands and brains together. So I think awareness of the concept is no longer the problem, but there's still a lot of roadblocks, of course, and I mean there's plenty of articles that can bullet point them for us. It's like scared of change, scared of other cultures and other locations, not having the time, not having the top management support, all these kind of things that we always deal with. So I don't see a lot of evolution there in the sense that these hurdles are still there for people who've never outsourced. Luckily, people do move around in the economy and go from one company that has been working successfully with an offshore team to another company, and then people will bring that idea to the next company. So there's definitely more and more adoption. And I think for businesses that have be outsourced and that are actively refusing to do it, they are making a huge mistake because they are just pricing themselves out of their markets. And even though some companies say, oh, we can afford it because our margins are large enough and all that, these things do not last forever. So they really have to think about it, I believe. But yeah, that's a strategic choice to be made by the C-suite of our prospect clients.
Incredible. And where do you see the sweet spot for East Vantage or the clients you talk to have things done? Or, where are the sectors or companies that should start tomorrow, hands down? Where's the sweet spot to all of this?
Well, I think every time when there's some technology involved, a new technology that needs to be developed or rolled out, that requires a new skill set or that requires people to understand the technology or be able to do some programming, be it complicated or simple, definitely this at that time it's a very good moment to start thinking about outsourcing, because there are talent pools out there that are much better skilled for that type of work. And then of course when it comes to some volume, when the team sizes start to grow, that's definitely the time to think about outsourcing. There's of course also people want to outsource a bit, say one FTE, and it's not always very useful. The typical thing would be, of course, the secretary, virtual secretary role. We are We don't do that. We are not believers in that. It's a very ad hoc role that's very difficult to optimize. You need to be a virtual assistant company doing nothing else but that before you can make that work. But whenever any process needs some more people involved, and that usually happens when businesses are growing, that's definitely the moment. So we really aim at companies that are growing and that have some involvement with technology. Very often that is then e-commerce. And as I said, it comes in many shapes and forms. It could be to consumers, but it can also be e-commerce platforms for B2B products, or companies that have been running their operation brick and mortars forever and that are now building a website or portals to deliver their products just in time to their clients. Or in logistics companies that need a lot of technology to deliver their services. And that's the moment where a lot of talent in Manila can help out.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with the VA thing, the virtual assistant, and it frustrates me when there are these a lot of people promoting VAs and building entire organizations built off VAs, and it's undervaluing the potential here and the opportunities in outsourcing. It's not just about booking restaurants and kind of making the life of the CEO a little bit easier. There's incredible depth and wealth of talent in outsourcing in the Philippines and in East Vantage and Manila. Yeah, it's yeah. Okay, good. And so if anyone wants to get in touch with you or know more about East Vantage, how can they do that?
Yeah, of course, you can always shoot me an email at yuri.timp@eastvantage.com or leave a message on our website. We are monitoring that closely. And of course, we always encourage people to drop by, which is not so easy, of course, because in the Philippines. But when you are really serious about selecting a provider, either you're going to visit that provider before you make a decision, or you're going to visit them shortly after you start working with them, because that is just a best practice, and that is just makes a big difference to see people face to face, to meet them face to face. So I would encourage anybody who wants to outsource to come and have a look and be so people can see that at least East Vantage is not a dark sweatshop, but we have very nice and very respectable offices with a lot of happy employees.
Yeah, it's incredible. And it's good you mentioned that, actually. I encourage absolutely everyone to come over and see the incredible things that are being done here. I've been to the East Vantage offices. They're incredible offices within a within a skyscraper, within a sort of shiny CBD, office environment. It's incredible, isn't it? And I think people can't help but be inspired and also get the comfort to take the first step, really. It's incredible.
Yeah, that's right. And I think for some SMEs, it seems like a big step. But then again, it's just an air flight away. Or a Skype call away, and the world is flat now for many years already, and it's time for everybody to join that bandwagon.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time, Yuri, and the insight and the years of executive experience that you've shared with us. Thanks so much, and it's been a pleasure talking to the Chief Zen Officer of East Vantage.
No problem, Derek. Thank you.
Okay, that was Yuri Timp of East Vantage. And if you want any of the show notes, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/252. And as always, if you want to ask us anything, then just drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com.